They weren't first thing in the morning, while the light was beginning to push back the dark, with spices and perfumes they had prepared after he was laid in Joseph's tomb. They'd been there with Joseph on Friday when Jesus' body was taken down and laid to rest. It was too late to do anything on Friday, the Sabbath. Evening had already fallen, so they went and waited. The city was slowly rumbling to life after the Sabbath. Three women hurrying along, keeping to the murky shadows of the morning, would hardly be noticed. They would have come earlier, but it was the Sabbath, and on the Sabbath, you rest. They slipped through the city gates and headed towards the hillside tomb where Jesus had been placed, just before the dark had pushed back the light on Friday. Once out of earshot of others, the women started to talk more. In the first light of the new day, it dawned on them, who was going to push back the stone so they could get to the body? A stone rolled over the cave's opening to keep out the animals and hold back the smell. Why were they even going to the tomb? Was it an expression of love? Was it part of grieving? Was it to cover the stink of death? So, three women, not the chosen disciples who jockeyed for positions of influence and recognition, but three women went to tend to do the tender, faithful, pragmatic thing. They went to push back death a bit. When they arrived, they saw the stone had been rolled away. They cautiously entered and saw nothing inside, except the strips of linen he was laid in 3 days before. Speechless, Mary, and Joanna looked at each other in shock. Before they could even say anything to each other, two beings, angels, men, appeared to them, clothed in lightning, gleaming. In fright and shock, all they could do was bow down with their faces to the ground before them. "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead?" they asked to the women. "He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you? While he was still in the Galilee with you, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." It was like the final piece of the puzzle had clicked. All the words Jesus said, all the stories he told, came to life in a new way. They were on the edge of something new. Jesus was alive. They had to tell someone the most wonderful news. So as they left the empty tomb with a spring in their step, the morning light had a warmth, the birds song brighter than before, and their hearts filled with a new joy. When they arrived at the place the others were staying, they told Jesus' friends where they had been and what they had saw. But the apostles didn't believe them, because no one could just come back to life. They treated it like complete nonsense, told them it was just grief and there was no way this could be real. Peter, though, was sitting there. He seemed curious. So he ran out the door straight to the tomb where and saw exactly what Mary, and Joanna had described. He saw the strips of linen lying there. He left, bewildered at what he saw. Lord, we come to you this morning, living in the new reality of your resurrection. We pray that your words would be glorified today, that it's not I who lives, but Christ through me. May you be exalted and glorified as we honor you today, Lord. Amen. So just this week, I had the absolute privilege of being down in Adelaide. And while I was in Adelaide, I was staying at this place called The Monastery on a staff retreat. And we took some time to pray and consider and to just be with Jesus. At this place called The Monastery, it's a Catholic conference center. There's a sacred garden there. And in this sacred garden is the 14 stations of the cross. So as I was there one day, I had the opportunity to pilgrimage, pray, contemplate, and walk through the stations of the cross. these stations that symbolize and represent Jesus' journey from being wrists bound and condemned by Pilate to being laid in the tomb at the end of Friday. The thing that struck me most as I wandered through and prayed through the stations was the role of women. From the fourth station after Jesus falls, where he meets his mother Mary, to station six, where Veronica, one of the disciples, wipes Jesus' face, to station eight, where Jesus speaks to the weeping women of Jerusalem, like we heard in the story on Friday, to the point where he's hanging on the cross and they're there as he breathes his last, and finally as he's taken down by Joseph of Arimathea and laid in his tomb. They are there with him. At this time, and as I finish the stations, there's almost this finality, a completion to the story. It's almost as if this, I always feel like there's a sigh, like a, it's done, it's finished. You know that sigh when something meaningful or significant ends. The point where you begin to process what has really happened. And that Sabbath, I think that's probably what the feeling was. What I want to pick up, though, is the way the women on the Friday before the Sabbath, after they've seen Jesus laid in his tomb, go home and prepare the spices and the perfumes. This day of rest that lasts from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday means they aren't able to do anything, and following the law means they must just rest. What really grabbed me, though, was the way the women were so prepared to go and care for the body of Jesus. They are ready, as soon as the sun rises, to go and do what must be done. These faithful women are prepared to go into the tomb, which by this point is going to be pretty rank. There's going to be fluids, there's going to be bloating, there's probably going to be a bit of rigor mortis, and the smell would not be pleasant. But they are ready. They are prepared to honour the body of Jesus even after his brutal death. This faithfulness, though, isn't new. This is the faithfulness of people who have often been told by society they are worth less than others. But the man whose body they are going to look after is someone who time and time again told people just like them that they are worth something in the kingdom of God. Whether it's the woman who washed Jesus' feet with her tears in Luke chapter 7, to whom Jesus says, "Your faith has saved you, go in peace," while rebuking Simon for not even giving him a bowl of water to wash his feet in. When he acknowledged the woman who was bleeding for years, touches his cloak and is healed, to whom he says, "Your faith has healed you, go in peace." And in Luke 8, when Mary, the sister of Lazarus, to whom in Luke chapter 10, Jesus commends for her hunger for learning the truths of his kingdom. Women, particularly in the book of Luke, are shown to be willing to step out in faith time and time again. Can we say we have the same faith as these women? The willingness to follow Jesus, even past the point of his death, willing to enter past the point of pain and suffering, to honour what was lost. What they were prepared for, though, is not what they found. They were greeted with an empty tomb. What I love about these depictions of the resurrection is that the women actually didn't have enough time to get into their own heads, because I know for me, I would be like in this place of grief and then tomb, it's empty, what's going on, and shock. And then all of a sudden it would be like, okay, how do I solve this? What do we do? What's the next steps? But they don't have a chance to do that, because all of a sudden there are these two men standing before them, gleaming in lightning, saying, "He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you when he was with you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered over the hands of sinners, to be crucified, and on the third day rose again. I just can imagine the women there kneeling down in absolute shock and terror, and then slowly rising, the cogs clicking into place, and slowly rising with an elation and joy. We must tell someone about this. This is the most exciting news. And then maybe a bit of them being like, we've got to tell someone about this. So while we read this story and may not blink at the eye at the fact that women are the ones to be the first to hear that Jesus is alive and share the good news of the resurrection, like, it's what we've read a bunch of times, right? We read it every Easter, we hear it, and it's just part of what we know. But at this time in history, women did not have high status. And therefore, having a group of women saying, Jesus is alive, probably may not have been taken seriously. But you know what? That's one of the coolest things about the kingdom of God. As Jesus says, the first will be last and the last will be first. The kingdom of God flips cultural expectations on their head. It's not about class or wealth or status here on earth, but it's about the treasure we store in heaven. Treasures of faithfulness, of holiness, of truth, of love, of justice, of courage, and a willingness to stand for these things, even when it's hard. These women, Mary, and Joanna, were steadfast in their faith and courageous in their conviction to share the good news they had received. Is this something we're willing to do? Stand for the things Jesus stood for, even when we may be ignored. Luke 24:11 straight up tells us that the apostles did not believe them. But they do not believe the women because their words seems like nonsense. These women were ignored. I can picture it. Mary, and Joanna running into the room full of elation and excitement at what they had just seen. The fact they have heard Jesus is alive. All the things that are untrue are becoming, or all the things that are true, even death, are becoming untrue. And they're standing there in front of the other disciples who are looking at them with looks of disdain, of what are they going on about? It must be the grief, you know? They're hysterical. That can't be true. No one can just rise from the dead. Most of them did not believe. That could have been very disheartening. So while at least 10 of them are sitting there mocking the women and just sort of maybe whispering to each other, like, did you just hear what they said? That can't be right. That's not true. Jesus is still in the tomb, surely. You know who gets up to go visit the tomb and run? It's Peter. Why is it Peter? Why not James? Why not John in this account in Luke? Why is Peter the one Luke acknowledges as to be the one to go visit the empty tomb? Well, I think it's got something to do with the fact that at the Last Supper, Jesus said, one of you will deny me. And Peter's the first to get up and say, I will never deny you, Lord. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to turn away from you. And Jesus says, well, actually, hear this, Peter. Before the cock crows three times, you will have denied me. Peter just denies it and says, no, that's not going to happen. I will follow you, Lord. But as it turns out, we know that Peter does, in fact, deny Jesus three times. So he's already had this prophecy, this word spoken over him and come to fulfillment. So to hear that maybe Jesus is alive, that might not be the craziest thing ever, because Jesus said what would happen, and it came to be. And maybe in the same way, Jesus could be alive. And, you know, maybe he feels like he still has some business to do with Jesus. He needs to ask for forgiveness. He needs to sit with Jesus and ask for his forgiveness for denying him. What I love most about this scene is that we have three different groups of people with three different postures. Firstly, we have Mary, and Joanna, who are steadfast, courageous, and faithful in their conviction to share the good news, even in the face of adversity. We have Peter, faithful, but heavy-hearted and needing to do some business with Jesus. Finally, we have the other disciples, a bit hard of heart, and for some of them, like Thomas, it will actually take seeing the holes that were nailed through Jesus' hand to actually believe he has been raised from the dead. And you know what? I think we can all find ourselves in here somewhere. From this scale of feeling courageous and bold in our faith to maybe feeling distant, disheartened, a bit not and hard of heart. So where are you on this scale? Let's just take a moment to reflect on that. Are you where you want to be? Do you feel energized and encouraged, on fire and ready to tell the world the good news? Do you feel your faith is shaken? Do you need to do some business with Jesus? Or is your heart hard, needing a fresh revelation of Jesus today? Let us pray together. Lord, wherever we find ourselves, whether it is on fire for you or feeling a bit disheartened and hard of heart, may you reveal yourself to us all today in a new, fresh way. Thank you that you are the risen Lord, that you are our Savior, that you love us so much that you would even die on a cross. Thank you for your examples of steadfast, faithful people in your word that we can follow. Thank you that you are with us even when we don't feel like you are. Amen.